As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Thursday, June the 25th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local. Coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Got a little website out there you might want to visit, www.vocallocal.org. Watch for it to be changing soon. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today with our guest, returning guest, Vicki Davis. You won't want to miss a moment of today's two-hour broadcast. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and be a part of today's broadcast. You can pick up the telephone and call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join us live on air and from around America and around the world. You may call toll free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, the big Mo to me, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Mo, 65647. A big shout-out to Liberty Radio in Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas. All of our micro broadcasters out there, thank you so very much for broadcasting to your local areas. Again, our website is vocallocal.org. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and of course your calls are welcome. Gold climbs this morning above 935. The currencies decline on the U.S. dollar and bond gains. We'll talk about that very briefly. Of course, we'll be joined in a few moments by our returning guest, Vicki Davis. We're going to go into part two, war in the context of everything else. And, of course, we'll take your calls and cover much, much more. Let's go to those market reports for Thursday, June the 25th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading up $3.70 at $935.80 an ounce. Year-to-year gain so far in the gold market, $50.30, for a return of 5.68%. Return on your investment, not at all bad compared to the bond market and others. Pretty good place to be. The silver market up 8 cents, trading at $13.91. Platinum up $18. $1,175. Palladium up as well, $2 today, $236 an ounce. The London gold fix this morning, $934.25. The highs and the lows in the gold spot market, 931.20, 940.20 for a $9 spread right there. Real nice, tight, even range. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down yesterday, 23 points at 8,300. The NASDAQ up 27 points yesterday, closing at 1,792. The S&P was up 6 points, trading at 901. So all that equity market seems to be pretty stable. Not a lot happening there. The crude oil, so far in today's trading, up 13 cents at $68.80. The U.S. dollar index climbing today, up another 26 basis points, at trading at $80.74. It's not really dollars, it's just an index, 80.74. The foreign exchange markets, a lot of noise being heard about the Swiss franc, but it really doesn't translate to much. We'll be back on the other side and pick up this broadcast. Stay with us. Back to the show.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor. Absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, June the 25th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, the official webpage of this broadcasting network. I'm joined today with our special guest, very special guest, Vicki Davis. She's coming back again for round two, if you will. You know, sucker for punishment. We're into it. We're going into it deep. If you missed the first segment with Vicki on Tuesday, please access the archives. As you know, listeners, we go into things on this broadcast a little deeper than some of the other 30-second soundbite people. We don't mind taking a day or two or five or ten or whatever it takes to really get into the bottom of something. And so, without further ado, I'm going to welcome back to Become Vocal Local, Vicki Davis. Vicki, good morning.
Good morning, Will. I appreciate you having me on to discuss this because this is pretty intense stuff. You know, not the kind of thing that is usually talked about on radio at the depth that you're willing to do it.
Well, most of the time, Vicki, we're burdened by this idea that we have to have power pablum in our day every day, you know, but we do come to a time in our understanding, you know, it's wonderful to wake people up, it's wonderful to get people all jazzed up and excited and asking questions. But once they're awake and asking questions, you know, they're going to need to have a little bit of strong meat, in my opinion. And I think that's where I want to go on this broadcast. And certainly it's the kind of research that you've done. Just briefly, for the benefit of those that missed our Tuesday, give us a little, just a thumbnail sketch of who you are. And then let's talk about your website and where we want to continue to go today.
Okay. Well, I was a computer systems analyst programmer for 20 years, and through circumstances, I ended up researching, trying to figure out what was going wrong with our country, which seemed to be kind of just going nuts. And so as I started researching, of course, my focus has been on the computer systems, on the Internet, just everything to do with the computer systems, because they really are at the heart of what the social upheavals and the good things and the bad things that are going on in our country, but mostly the bad things, actually.
Well, so we can understand with the development of artificial intelligence, you know, and my God, we could use a little artificial intelligence in Washington, D.C. and in The Hague and other places. With the development of the computer, as you mentioned on our Tuesday broadcast, it really is essential, at least if we can look at it in the modern context. I mean, we've had corporations as large as the East India Company and all of that, you know, the Dominions, the British Empire, but, you know, you have thousands of people, ambassadors and emissaries all over the world going back and forth. They move slowly. They didn't respond well. They couldn't take advantage of anything that was happening in the here and now. When you have to get on a sailing boat and go back and get your marching instructions from the crown, things are kind of slowed down. But in this rise after the end of the Industrial Revolution, at least as far as Western man is concerned, now that we're in the high-tech revolution, and that we may even come in close to the post of the high-tech revolution, but certainly through all of this, the development of these interconnected and interoperable, as you said on Tuesday, computing systems has really given a heads up, or have given an amazing boost up to running corporations on a massive scale globally. So when we think about this computing system, folks, let's do understand that the heart of the beast, the throbbing heart of this particular beast global system, this geospatial and geographic information system, global governance, it is the computers, and they're interconnected. And so pick it up there, Vicki, and let's get started. We have a few minutes of this break.
Okay, well, one thing I want to say is that global business works at the speed of light. People move at the speed that they have always moved at, you know, from the beginning of time. And it's the problems that we are having is in between those two. There's like a time warp in between. And so, I don't know how it's going to be resolved, actually.
That's a really good point. You know, that's a point I hadn't thought of, not really thinking along that line. But that's exactly right. You know, this idea that the computer could replace man, you know, they talk about the transhumanists and things like that, people walking around with microchips implanted in their brains and so on. The computer is functional at a completely different realm, if you will, than people. And we do have this real problem dealing with the lag between the development of the human mind and the human personality and this artificial thing that's out there. So I sometimes question, Vicki, whether or not technology is our ally or whether it's a demon. But at the same time, I recognize all of these things as being tools in our toolbox, and we can either use them well and use them to our advantage, or we can just take that beautiful micrometer and try and pretend that it's a crowbar and destroy both that and do a poor job of pulling out nails.
Right, yeah. All technology is dual use. You know, you can use it for ill or you can use it for good. And unfortunately, the people that are designing these global systems, in my opinion, they're using it for ill.
Okay. Well, let's drive the audience first of all right back to your websites so that they can get on base with us here, folks. If you want to just type it into your browser, if you're on the internet, www.channelingreality.com, channelingreality.com. It's a it looks like a simple website when it opens, but it has an incredible amount of material in there. And we're working from a series that Vicki has put together, a research series that she calls War in the Context of Everything Else. Is that shown right on the homepage there, Vicki?
Yeah, it's right in the list, going down the center there on the right. It's right in the list. You'll see it, all five parts of it.
And so we're really looking at part two pretty well today, starting in this part two area, the Slave Master's Rise Again. And what we wanted to develop today was the idea of computing systems as they're integrated with the educational system. Is that right, Vicki?
Yes, and how it started. There's one person that I focus on in particular. His name is William Brock. And when you start doing research about Washington, D.C., there are some people that you find that seem to have had their hands in everything.
Yeah.
And Brock is one of those kinds of guys.
So we saw that with Edward Mandel House. We've seen other people that are involved in this at various levels. The Bellamys were instrumental. Throughout history, there's always been these key players, folks. Everybody knows about Orwell. Few people have ever bothered to read Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and Brave New World Revisited. But when we come back from this break, folks, we're going to pick it up and we're going to go into this deeper and deeper and deeper. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Hey folks, I've got a question for you. Do you force yourself out of bed each morning and drag throughout the day? Do you grab for that sugar pick-me-up only to later crash and feel even more tired? Well, I've got the solution for you. Put a zip in your day and zap your appetite. Reclaim your get-up-and-go with Zip and Zap. Let me tell you what you'll notice in immediate benefits. It ramps up your workouts. Well, if you work out. Turns off your hunger, elevates your mood, helps you to resist fattening foods, and gives you a smooth flow of energy with no crash. The testimonials? Colin in Illinois lost 30 pounds in 8 weeks, didn't work out. Susie in Missouri, 10 pounds in 20 days, she didn't work out. Anna in California did work out and went from a size 14 to a size 4 in 90 days. If you want results like this, working out or not, order Zip and Zap now and also ask about Lametco International's first line of defense products. Tell him Michael Herzog sent you. Call 1-800-933-2565. That's 1-800-933-2565.
You invest. You buy insurance. You wear your seatbelt. You do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code ORACLE at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
And we're back into speaking today with our special guest, Vicki Davis, a researcher, computer programmer, systems designer, someone that has spent many, many years in this industry and has looked at the last 50 or so, 100 years of our history here in the country and around the world from this standpoint, and has brought out a great deal of research to help us to bridge the gap between corporations and government and this new tie between them, which is the computing systems of the world. Go ahead and pick it up there, Vicki, and let's develop this guy, William Brock, and all of the stuff that leads up it to him and why he's important.
Okay. Well, William Brock, he was the son of a candy manufacturer in Tennessee, so he grew up as a very privileged child. He became a member of Congress as a House of Representatives member between 1963 and 71. He was elected to the Senate in 1971 and served one term. And I believe he was on the Senate Banking Committee during that time, which is probably what got him involved in this path that would ultimately lead to the redesign of our education system, and even beyond that. But in 1977, he became the chairman of the Republican National Committee, and as chairman, well, first of all, let me back up. It was in 1981 that he became U.S. Trade Representative during Reagan's term. And he was working with the three corporations that I mentioned before that were behind the idea of trade in services. Those three corporations were American Express, Citibank, and AIG, you know, which we've heard a lot about AIG recently.
Been around a while.
Yeah. but they were behind the idea of including trade-in services because, of course, they wanted to be able to export their financial services industry into third world countries, but they were blocked. But this guy, William Brock, he negotiated the first free trade agreement for the United States. And as I said before, free trade is not really about trade. It's about investment for the multinational corporations, for the financial services industry. So they negotiated the agreement so that products could be imported basically, you know, for free, low or no tariffs, in exchange for the financial services industries to be able to do business in other countries. Okay, but they, of course, included trade-in services to be all-encompassing and not just the businesses of the financial services industries like banks and insurance companies and so forth, but they included people in trade-in services.
So we have the human resource aspect of this as well coming in at the same time.
Exactly right. And that's goes to the education system and workforce development system that William Brock has been involved in, and it's actually a human resource development system on a national level.
Okay.
Another way to say it is that it is government management of the labor market. And the systems that they've set up essentially will work as a trade authority for the management of what is actually, when you boil it right down, is human slave trade. It's modern-day slave trade.
Exactly. On a global scale.
Yeah, and you can dress it up any way you want, but when you boil it down, it is trade in human commodities. So
we can understand then that the educational system that has been developed was developed to support precisely that. And so you know, we think about higher education and whatnot, but really, the bottom line of it is a harmonization of capacity across all borders globally to service the global plantation and provide that workforce that can be moved from, like pawns on a chessboard, from one region to another, from one hemisphere to another, from one continent to another, in a kind of a seamless flow of human resources. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. Okay, now when he was the Republican chairman, they set up an organization called the National Endowment for Democracy. And essentially what they were doing, because they wanted to export American financial services, that to third world countries, you have to have infrastructure in the countries to support the kind of modern economy that the United States has. So they set up this organization called National Endowment for Democracy. They included four organizations, the Republican, a Republican component, a Democratic component, a labor component, and a business component, you know, which is the chamber. And basically what they've done is to kind of export turnkey democracy for capacity building.
Exactly.
And so, and of course, I assume that the CIA was involved in that. I did read somewhere, I can't give you an exact quote, but, you know, the CIA was involved in all kinds of nefarious activities in other countries. And as I understand it, this organization called NED, National Endowment for Democracy, kind of arose out of the problems that the CIA got into because they were doing things covertly, and this was an attempt to do it overtly in a more professional way.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Of course, that doesn't mean that they still don't send the jackals out. I'm sure they do. But this organization, they're the ones that manage the agenda for the NGOs in other countries. Okay. So he was involved in setting that up. And from there, the next thing that he did was to he went to the Labor Department from there. Okay, because they knew trade and services was going to involve labor. And when he was at the Labor Department, he commissioned this report called the Workforce 2000 Report.
Yes.
And what it was supposed to be is like a projection of what the labor and economic conditions were going to be in, you know, the year 2000.
Now, what year was that written in?
Let me hear. I have the book. I had to order the book because there's almost nothing about it online.
Workforce 2000, written probably, I'd say, 92 or a little around in there?
1987.
Okay, so
yeah.
So he's looking. We're coming up on a break. So he was looking a little bit ahead of his time. Everybody was looking at Agenda 21 about that. We had a caller on the line. Caller's dropped. Do feel free to call back in again, caller. This is all self-produced here. So we'll be back in just 3 minutes, folks. Stay with us. You're listening to Become Vocal Local.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Right, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
There's no reason to be depressed today. We've taken over politics before. We can do it again.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again, speaking with our very special guest, Vicki Davis. We're going into some pretty heady stuff here, covering a little bit of the backstory, if you will, on what got us to where we are today. And callers, do recall and understand that this is a self-produced broadcast. So when you call in, and we had a caller that called in, William, you feel free to call back again. But when you call in, just stay on the line, and as soon as I can find a convenient place to interrupt our guest or bring you up, I'll do that. And so just stay on the line, and we'll bring your call up as soon as we can. We don't have anybody to whisper to you in your ear while we're on air. So anyway, going back to you, Vicki, so we've got William Brock. He's in this process. You know, one of the things that a lot of the various people that are new to the research community and are new in all of this, and perhaps one of the reasons why we're, in my opinion, losing ground in this battle against the global East, is because they do strategic planning better than anybody, and apparently we're not doing any planning. So even though none of us want to live in a planned society, we're going to need to do a little bit of a planning on our own to look down the road a few years, maybe 10 or 20, and find out where we need to be. But at the same time, these people have been planning decades and decades. You know, we heard the 5-year plans coming out of Lenin, the 10-year plans, the 20-year plans. This is where Brock was at when he was coming up with this Workforce 2000 back in the 80s, eh?
Yes, that's right. And that, you're right, that is something that most people don't understand. You know, they plan their lives, you know, from week to week, and they might plan their vacation a year from now, but, you know, the idea, the concept of planning something for decades ahead of time, they don't seem to understand that there are actually people that do that sort of thing.
That's right. Exactly. And I had a distributorship for a while with the Success Motivation Institute, and one of the things that I was doing, in addition to teaching people about time management and self-motivation and all that and goal setting, basically was learning how to build a life plan, a personal lifespan plan. And one of the things that we came up with, and you used the phrase, is that the average person will spend more time planning their annual vacation than they will the entire year of that life. So, you know, we're running at a continuous disadvantage because we're always finding these ahas, these surprises in our way, and all of these roadblocks and obstacles with no clue of how to get around them. But these folks are not in the same camp. So let's talk a little bit about their strategic planning and Mr. Brock in greater detail.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this Workforce 2000 report is probably one of the most key pieces of documentation that you could get to understand what they were thinking back then and how they were projecting into the future, you know, for what the economy was going to be in 2000, which is why I said the last time on the broadcast that the education system is the tell for knowing that they knew what they were going to do to our economy with these free trade agreements.
Okay,
now on page 9 of this report, Workforce 2000, I'm going to read you a paragraph. It's called Rebalancing World Growth. Okay, it says, almost as important as the growth level of stimulus will be the correction of severe imbalances in the current world economy. In order to maximize world growth, the distortions in world financial markets that have been created by inflation and unsound government investment policies must be corrected. The world's financial institutions must rechannel capital from the rich, aging nations of the world to the young, industrializing countries where the real rates of return are likely to be higher. To accomplish this, the United States must cease consuming so much of the world's savings by reducing its massive trade and budget deficits.
Very telling.
Okay, now, and this was written in 1987, but if you look, you know, just take the status of the U.S. economy today, our trade deficit is negative. We have the largest trade deficit in the entire world, which means we're consuming far more of the world's resources than we're producing. And the reason that we're doing that is because of the U.S. trade policies, you know, where they negotiated all of these agreements with all of these third world countries. They can all export from their country into the United States in exchange for the U.S. financial industries to do business in their country. I mean, it just turned out completely opposite of what they said in this book.
Okay, interesting. But it is still a continuation of the redistribution of the wealth scheme, is it not?
Absolutely, it is. And, of course, now, you know, our economy is collapsing. They pulled a switch on us. Okay, I wasn't going to get into this, but they pulled a switch on us. When they were talking about these free trade agreements back then, you know, we exported manufacturing on the idea that those were old businesses, and we were going to be the modern information economy, right?
Right.
All technology, everybody's going to be an information worker.
Right.
Well, in just right before the year 2000, AIG and Bill Clinton, they actually implemented the trade in services where we're supposed to allow the importation of service workers, because that's called for in the Uruguay round of the trade agreements, and they exported our technology jobs. Because you can have an Indian programmer do a job for, you know, 20% of the wage that they would get in the United States. So they stabbed us in our, you know, stabbed us in the heart, basically.
Yeah, and this thing has been coming for a long time. But Vicki, you know, back in the 80s when the computer was really coming online and everybody was talking about going from an industrial society into this high-tech society. I remember when I was talking, doing public speaking and stuff like that, I cautioned people and warned people that, you know, you can't live in a computer. You can't, you know, it doesn't provide any shelter from the weather. You can't eat computers. You can't sleep in them. You can't drive around in them. They're just this little plastic thing with all of these wires and circuits and chips and things in them, and they really don't do anything, you know, productive. They don't create anything. And so I was cautioning people to be careful about getting on board this too heavily. And basically what we saw then was this transfer where we went from an industrial society, if we could say so, transferred all that out, moved all of our factories offshore. And then with the everybody getting excited, my own brother retrained and went into computer sciences. He had an auto body, successful auto body business that he gave up to do that. But as a result, you know, when the computing industry basically was offshored, outsourced, if you will, he found himself unable to get work, and, you know, now works at one of these big box stores. So it not only just turned his world inside out and upside down, it was just wrong choices after wrong choices. So we get the idea that we can export all of our manufacturing and then buy it back, and we should be able to make more profit and, you know, take advantage of their cheap labor. But then we turn around and we bring their cheap labor in here, their brain trust, it's called the brain drain. We bring them in here, and that replaces the American brain worker. So, I mean, the American people have been just reduced down to, you know, burger flippers, and even the burger flippers lose out because we bring in the unskilled laborers from the South, which closes that door. So we have really been boxed in very, very craftily over the last 20 years by these stinking thinkers.
Yes, and that's why I call it, you know, a war in the context of everything else, because it's an intellectual war. They tell you one thing about, you know, the economy, and then they do just the opposite. They do something different, and so, you know, you have to be just as knowledgeable as they are, so that you can, you know, stop the lies that they're saying, and, you know, then you can discuss things on a level playing field. But the way that they, it's like the baby boomers, you know, they always give the impression that the baby boomers are retiring, and if they hadn't done all this stuff, the United States would just stop, you know, growth would stop, everything would be over for the country. Every time they say that, I think, well, wait a minute, the baby boomers had children too.
Yeah, that's right. Hold on right there. We'll be back on the other side of this break with more, folks. You're right there.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we have returned once again on our Thursday, June the 25th, 2009 broadcast to Become Vocal Local. And before we go back to our guest, I just let everyone know that we're going to continue into the second hour on the same topic with Vicki Davis. And you can visit her website at www.channelingreality.com, where you'll find the series of articles entitled War in the Context of Everything Else. Today we're talking a little bit about part two, just kind of continuing to understand it. These are very long articles. They're 13, 14 pages each. And so there's a lot to figure out there. The call-in number is and remains 866-841-1065. And in the Austin, Texas area, you can call in at 512-904-8014. And because of the depth of the material that we're covering, just please feel free to call in at the moment that you have a question or a comment to make. We'll try and bring you up as quickly as we can on air. Nobody's screened here. Nobody's rejected. All calls are accepted. So back to you, Vicki. In the last 15 minutes or so of today's first hour, let's continue and try and come around to a better understanding of this dissolution of national sovereignty, the National Subversives Security Act of 1947, all these big lies, how this all fits into the puzzle.
Okay. Well, William Brock, after this report was produced, as Secretary of Labor, I think he was behind the idea for the redesign of the schools. In 1990 is when the project started, but he went from the Department of Labor to the National Center for Education and, National Center for Education and the Economy, where he worked with Mark Tucker to write a report. Basically, they're a think tank, and they are the ones that did the design, where the design originated for the education system, transitioning it from a system of education to a vocational system. Okay, now this project in 1990, which started after he left when Elizabeth Dole was the Secretary of Labor, It was called the Secretary's Commission on Achieving Necessary Skills. And the acronym on that is SCANS. And every place you will see that referred to as the SCANS system.
Well, let me jump in right there and ask a question. Maybe you know the answer to this. When I was growing up in Fairbanks, Alaska, our educational system up there, in my opinion, was par excellence. When I came down to and finished high school in Seattle back in 1969 and 70, the level of education that was being taught there and the other students, it was like walking onto the moon. But the high school, the junior high school and the high school that I went to had a vocational program. And I started drafting. Actually, I had two brother-in-laws. Eventually, two brother-in-laws were both architect planners. But I started drafting when my eldest sister was dating, I guess you could say, an architectural student at the University of Oregon. He's the one that gave me my first drafting tools and things like that. But I must have been probably fifth grade or thereabouts. But by the time I graduated from high school, when I was a senior in high school, I'd already left home and I was working almost full-time at an engineering office. So vocational technical training to me seems perfectly normal and natural. But when I did get down to the Seattle public school system, they had no equal. So I wonder whether or not the education that I received in Fairbanks, Alaska was a pilot program of what was later to become this school-to-work program.
I don't know. Well, it depends. You know, it just depends on the school, the quality of the program. I mean, they did the same thing in the school that I went to. I mean, there was shop for the boys, you know, mechanics and wood shop, and then there was the agricultural program. Mm-hmm. And for the girls, we had home ec, which I got an F in, but
Well, there's a lot more to home ec than meets the eye, you know, if we really understand the way that that economy developed, you know, in Greece and in the back in the Oriental despotisms, you know, the dominion of the house and the household servants and that whole process, that the home economy was the fundamental, you know, basic economy, and other economies, damn, basically it was all running the farm, running the land, and the wife had quite a place in all of that. So we kind of walked away from it with the 60s and 70s as the women's liberation movement came on and all of that. Girls thought that, well, this isn't something they should do. They wanted to be engineers too. But as a result, you know, we've seen now the end result of 40 years of that. The houses in shambles and the children are all off in Montessori schools or someplace else.
Well, vocational education in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing. And the truth of the matter is that there are a lot of people who could never participate really in the information economy anyway. So, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, I so much admire people that can build things out of wood.
Exactly.
You know, I'm in awe, you know, that they can actually do things like that.
Well, when we travel around, Vicki, you know, in the automobiles and we're driving on roads, you know, we're going across culverts. We're seeing this row of power poles and so on and so forth. You drive over bridges. You go over the top of a dam. You turn on a light switch. All of this stuff, the skyscrapers, you know, basically 99.9% of that were built by people who didn't have college educations that were out there, and they knew their craft, they knew their skills, they knew their trades, and they did them and did them well and did it with pride. And it wasn't until the very last generation in here, the last 15, 16, 20 years, something like that, no more than that, where everybody wants to be a neurosurgeon, everybody wants to be a lawyer, and you look around and there isn't a person to find to repair a toilet or to, you know, rebuild a bridge.
That's true. But, you know, those kinds of things have their place, but you have to educate people first. They have to learn to read and write and think and, you know, do all these things. what they had in mind for the schools depends on what businesses are available in the local community.
Now you get it.
And you know, if you're a kid growing up in New York City, you have the potential to have a fabulous education in whatever it is that you want to do. You know, in the arts, there are high schools for the arts. There are technical high schools. You know, just anything that you want is there. If you're growing up in, you know, Podunk, Idaho, you're going to be very limited. You might learn customer service for Walmart or something.
Right.
So
hey, let me jump in on that, because we're going to run out of time in this first segment of the first hour. But Milton Friedman put it really well when he made the contrast between our equality of opportunity. In other words, everyone had the opportunity to take it to the max. You could do anything you wanted. Everyone had an equal opportunity to try. As opposed to what you're describing here is the equality of outcomes, where it brings everybody down and levels. It's the old leveling concept, but everyone has the equality of outcomes. And there's a vast difference from a linguistic standpoint between opportunity and outcome. But we've got about 1 minute left for this particular segment. Then we're going to go to the top of the hour break. So let's continue just briefly on that thought and be ready to go into the break. Are you still there, Vic? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was waiting for you to go into the break.
No.
We've got about a minute left.
Yeah, okay. No, when we come back from the break, I will describe what they did with this SCANS system. Basically, it was a project that was set up at Johns Hopkins University, and their objective was to define the criteria for all jobs that there are in the United States. What worker skills do you need for a job, and how many different jobs are there?
Okay, we'll pick that up on the other side, folks. Stay with us for the hour number two. Fascinating topic, very, very knowledgeable researcher here, Vicki Davis. And for those that are going to go away at this time, thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. Everybody else, stay right there. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, June the 25th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and we always have good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you. Especially today, we were joined once again by Vicki Davis coming back and talking to us about this enormous research project that she's gone into, war in the context of everything else. You can visit Vicki's website at channelingreality.com. That's www.channelingreality.com. And read the articles for yourself there. That's a treasure trove of information, useful research with documentation, too. Excuse me. In the first hour, we talked a lot about the background. We brought up some of the key players. We're talking about the educational transformation of America as well as part of this. But it all has a lot to do with computing and computer systems and planning and global planning and planned economies. Education figures very highly in this. And so let's just pick it up there, Vicki, and proceed further into this study.
Okay. Well, the SCANS system, ultimately the objective was to be able to define all of the jobs in the United States and to identify the criteria that would apply to that job. What are the necessary worker skills for that job? And ultimately, the idea behind it was for a computer system, which they knew at that time. You know, that's one of the first things that you do when you design a big computer system is that you do your tables, and all of the possible jobs in the United States would be a table, and then all the criteria under each one of those jobs is another table, you know, so that you would have all the skills. And ultimately, it was for the education workforce computer system.
And so if we could think of it as in these tables then, and the ability with the computer to be able to search and cross-reference, you could probably, by listing out all of the various and sundry kinds of known jobs, create a list of all of the various and sundry known skills, and then boil it down with a search engine into those critical known skills that would be necessary at a basal level to address most of the known jobs adequately, and then to break it up regionally so that the employers would be able, through the Chambres de Commerce and other avenues of expression, they would be able to craft local education to serve local industries. Would that be close?
Well, yes. I mean, that's part of it. The vocational training would be local, which is a problem with the one-size-fits-all national education policy, because as I just said, you know, if you're living in New York City, you've got all the opportunity in the world in a system that offers vocational training, but when you live here in Idaho, establishing a system, a nationally driven system of education that is focused on vocational education, your opportunities are tremendously limited.
Okay. So we'll pick that up. We've got just a few minutes before, or a few seconds before we go into the break. And so one of the things that we've had going on in this country forever is migration. People move from one area to another area. And we can see this especially in the education. If you were educated in Idaho, you might be educationally challenged in New York. Folks, we'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
¶¶
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Hey folks, I've got a question for you. Do you force yourself out of bed each morning and drag throughout the day? Do you grab for that sugar pick-me-up only to later crash and feel even more tired? Well, I've got the solution for you. Put a zip in your day and zap your appetite. Reclaim your get-up-and-go with Zip and Zap. Let me tell you what you'll notice in immediate benefits. It ramps up your workouts. Well, if you work out. Turns off your hunger, elevates your mood, helps you to resist fattening foods, and gives you a smooth flow of energy with no crash. The testimonials? Colin in Illinois lost 30 pounds in 8 weeks, didn't work out. Susie in Missouri, 10 pounds in 20 days, she didn't work out. Anna in California did work out and went from a size 14 to a size 4 in 90 days. If you want results like this, working out or not, order Zip and Zap now and also ask about Lametco International's first line of defense products. Tell him Michael Herzog sent you. Call 1-800-933-2565. That's 1-800-933-2565.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, June the 25th, 2009 edition, our two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. For those of us that are, have just joined us after the top of the hour break, or perhaps this is the first hour of the broadcast that you receive where you're listening, I'm speaking today with Vicki Davis. My name is William Roberts, and we're speaking today with Vicki Davis, a very competent researcher, a good writer as well. Lots of documentation, information that you can find at her website, www.channelingreality.com, spelled just the way it sounds, channelingreality.com. And we're looking at an article, a lengthy article, multi-part series that Vicki has written entitled War in the Context of Everything Else. And Vicki wrote that when somebody is shooting at you, there's no doubt in your mind that your life is at risk, so you take cover. And hopefully you have the means to shoot back. In a war in the context of everything else, the enemy can come at you from all directions in ways limited only by their imagination. And because of that, you don't know who or where they are or how they're coming at you. And the war is well underway before you even realize there is one. So fighting back requires that you meet the enemy on the battlefield of the mind before you can formulate a response. And as Sun Tzu says, all war is deception. And certainly if we can understand that the people that are involved in running and planning the world, they are these social planners. They are the people that believe in a planned community and a planned economic, environmental, and developmental concerns. they plan, and they plan well. They plan well in advance. But another thing that I hear in this, and you brought it out as we were in the previous hour, there's also the crisis theory and the permanent revolution. And so we can see that sometimes we might think we have anticipated the moves, but they'll throw in a monkey wrench from time to time and turn things upside down, and maybe even there is infighting amongst them, and they throw wrenches into each other's gears from time to time as they strive and struggle for power. It's all war is deception. And so let's kind of pick it up there. We can see that there's a problem in their plan as far as the educational system is going to be rolled out on us. What can we do to understand that better and maybe prepare ourselves, and especially for the young people out there listening?
Well, in 1992, a man named Mark Tucker, who had previously worked for the Carnegie Institute, was working for the National Center for Education and the Economy with William Brock. And they are the ones that together, or the design or the strategy for the National Education Workforce Human Resource Development System came out of the NCEE, the National Center for Education and the Economy. In 1992, he wrote a letter to Hillary Clinton, and I would just like to read one little, the opening for it, and then another little part.
Go ahead.
It says, "Dear Hillary, I still cannot believe that you won, but utter delight that you did pervades all the circles in which I move. I met last Wednesday in David Rockefeller's office with him, John Sculley, Dave Oram, and David Hasselcomb. It was a great celebration. Both John and David R. were more expansive than I've ever seen them." And it turns out, okay, it says, "I literally radiating happiness. My own view and theirs is that this country has seized its last chance." Okay, and then it continues on. It turns out that what this letter actually is, if you read it as I read things, it is the conceptual design for a national human resource management system. Okay, and a conceptual design is just the ideas on paper of how a system, a computer system combined with the manual processes, will work. And you do the conceptual design to communicate with your management, with the money people, to get funding and backing for a project.
Exactly.
So if you want to know what their vision was for this human resource system, if you read this letter, it stays away from the hard detail that I tend to delve into, and it just, you know, gives you the idea of it.
Well, one of the things that is similar here is that, you know, the whole, everyone on, especially on this network, are kind of familiar probably with the idea of the great architect. You know, you go back to the Masons and things like that. But as someone that has done architecture and engineering and land planning, land use planning and things like that, we go through this process too. The conceptual stage is always the first stage of a design project. And in architecture, for instance, when you're looking at a building or a house or something, you're not drawing with a triangle and a T-square, folks. You're not using your finely sharpened pencils and things like that. You're using what they call bungwad, which is just basically inexpensive throwaway paper. And you're working in circles and ovals and activity centers, and you're kind of moving things around. You're working with felt tip markers and whatnot. And you're not hardlining anything, but it is out of these conceptual, circles, all of these integrated circles, that you can start to see flows and movements and things. And if I'm hearing you right, you do the same thing when you're working up computer system.
Exactly. Yes, it's like creating a a mental model of how the system will work in its entirety. It's like an architect does his plans, you know. He shows you what his vision of a building is going to look like. Well, you know, for a computer system, it's the same thing. You know, you're giving a vision of how the system will work. And, okay, here's another excerpt from this. It says, what follows comes in three places. First, a vision of the kind of national, not federal, human resources development system the nation could have. This is interwoven with a new approach to governing that should inform that vision. What is essential is that we create a seamless web of opportunities to develop one's skills that literally extends from the cradle to the grave and is the same system for everyone, young, old, poor, rich, worker, full-time student.
Exactly.
It needs to be a system driven by client need.
Exactly.
Okay, right there, when you say client, who is the client for a system like that? The client turns out to be the employer.
Exactly.
And so that's how this system turns out to be a slave management system, actually.
Right. The clients are these transnationals, the big corporations. They're the ones that are financing all this. It's their government. They own it. They bought it. Lock, stock, and barrel. You're not included. Folks, we'll be right back on the other side. Stay with us.
You invest. You buy insurance. You wear your seatbelt. You do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code ORACLE at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at SecretRightMovie.com. That's www.SecretRightMovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
There's no end to the oppression today. We've taken over politics before. We can do it again.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
And we have returned once again. And on this broadcast, on this network, and on other networks, I've gone into great detail, Vicki, to share with the audience the better understanding of what is national as opposed to federal and, of course, then state. When we think of about a national government, we don't really have a national government. We have a federal government, we have state governments, we have county governments, we have city municipalities, and so on and so forth. But here in this letter that you're reading, very telling letter itself, but we see this idea that in admission that the real clients that are being served by this national development and by the national organizations, all the regional councils of government and the FEMA regions and the bank federal reserve banking regions, etc., the real client that's being served in all of this is this beast corporatist society that lives at a different level in a different mindset than the sheeple out here on the street. Would that be right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why the government has partnered with the corporations to design these systems, because they have defined systems that are national in scope, and actually they're global in scope, but you have to kind of dig into the research that I've done to know that, because they're always presented in a way that appears to be national. The federal government funded the development of America's Job Bank and America's Talent Bank, and all of this was done under Al Gore's Reinvention of Government project that went on during the Clinton administration.
Exactly.
But after I read this letter, I mean, I was horrified, because I recognize a process control system when I see one.
Now, what was the date on that letter, do you recall?
The letter was 1992, but it was put in the congressional record by Congressman Bob Schaefer of Colorado in 1998.
Okay. So we just embraced the first decade of Agenda 21 with that.
Well, they were doing Agenda 21 concurrently with this. I mean, I've got documentation
absolutely
on that, too, the President's Council on Sustainable Development. And,
yes, absolutely. But what I mean by that is that from the Rio Summit in 92 to the first decade, you know, in the year 2000, this letter comes out in that time frame and speaks to the very same issues that we've been doing research on when we've studied Agenda 21. But don't let me interrupt. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Well, the whole idea that started the free trade, I mean, it was all based on the UN Universal Human Rights or something like that.
Yeah, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Right, and rebalancing the economy. And back in 1991, when William Brock was the trade representative, he negotiated the first free trade agreements, but which the first one was with Canada, that was signed in 1988. They started negotiating it in 1986. But prior to that time, in 1981, they were talking about more of a north-south arrangement, and so one of the agreements that they negotiated was with Mexico, and it was called the La Paz Agreement. And supposedly it created an international zone on the border that the EPA director was put as the more or less the coordinator on our side of the border. But because they created an international zone, of course, it's the State Department, the Secretary of State, that is actually driving the agenda in the international zone.
So when we think about Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, you know, they call about the browning down of America and Europe and so on. It's an applicable analogy when we think of the Western Hemisphere, North America, Canada, Mexico versus what's happening in South America. In Europe, it only applies if you leave out the Asia and you just think about Europe itself and then Africa. But the monkey wrench in the analogy is what's happening with China, Japan, you know, all of that. They're in Northern Hemisphere, and so they don't really apply, although they're still considered part of the developing countries. But, yeah, fascinating stuff on that. Go ahead and just continue. I just wanted to throw that in.
Okay. But, okay, well, anyway, getting back to the education system, the idea of it was not only because it's a human resource development management system, you can see what the intent was by looking at the database, the data elements that they have for the education system. And after I read this letter, I went out and I did a search for all legislation that I could find pertaining to the education system, because it's in the legislation that they passed that you can see element or component by component how they were planning on pulling this system all together. Because they needed enabling legislation, because when you're talking about building a computer system that goes from cradle to grave, you know, tracking a person's education and work history from cradle to grave, there were a lot of barriers to get beyond in terms of privacy and information sharing.
Exactly.
I mean, in the past, you know, like with juvenile crime, those records stayed in the police department and they were sealed once a kid reached the age of 18, you know, and assuming that he never got in trouble again, the things that he did in his wild youth were forgotten. Well, you know, after Columbine, you know, they passed legislation so that that information is shared. And all of that kind of information is going into the database on a person. And, in fact, it even goes prenatal. You know, I don't know if you've seen the legislation for these social workers that go into your home. Parents as teachers is one of them. Where they go into your home and supposedly teach you how to be a parent.
Exactly.
But those records actually go into the school record, and they begin prenatal. I don't know if a doctor is going to turn you in, you know, oh, this woman's pregnant, so we got to get the social workers out there.
Well, I can bring and have read on air on this broadcast a book from my library. It was William Schaffner, is the Dr. William Schaffner, was the shrink that went over to Germany right after the war and got involved with the information, the ICD, the information something. And what they basically did is they ran studies on the German people. They wanted to figure out at what stage in the development of a young German did the government need to interdict. And they questioned, well, should it be when they come to school, or should it be when they're entering to kindergarten? Should they interact with the child when they're still in their swaddling clothes, in their mother's arm, in the mother's womb, or before the womb? And so we can understand that, you know, in America, you have to have ostensibly a license to drive a car. You have to have a license to sell or serve liquor. You have to have a license for just about everything. But one thing you don't need to have is and you do need a license to get married, so ostensibly, but you don't need to have a license to have a child. And that has really irritated people for a long time, because they would like to be able to come in and interdict before you've, you know, even gotten married, and then start to manipulate you into being the kind of a parent that would drop the kind of child that the state wants. Folks, be right back. Stay right there.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we are back again. I am speaking with Vicki Davis, our guest today. She's a very competent researcher. There's an interesting website. You might want to bookmark it. Go there and visit it today. It's www.channelingreality.com. Channelingreality.com. We're generally referring to this world in the context of everything else article. There are several parts to this. You can find it up on her website and take a look at it. But as we were going into the break, Vicki, I mentioned or recalled from a book that I have here in my library. I grabbed it during the break. It's a study. It was published by Columbia University. Let's see, 1948 is the publication date. It's titled Fatherland, a study of authoritarianism in the German family, written by Bertram Schaffner, M.D. And the preface begins this way and reads, during the recent war years, the American people were faced with the knowledge that we did not know enough to estimate either the strengths or the weaknesses of our enemies. And it continues, and they're talking about Germany and the other allies. In October of 1945, a small consultation center for the selection of German personnel was established in the United States zone in Germany. It was part of the Information Control Division and was known as the ICD Screening Center, and that's where Bertram Schaffner worked. And they would bring people in and interview them and so on and so forth, and here's a little bit more about that. What makes the study of the German family so crucial? Remember, folks, this was done some long time ago now. There's been many advances on this kind of research, and we've come under the microscope as well here. We're in the petri dish now. But what makes the study of the German family so crucial is the remarkable parallel between the rules that govern it and the credos of national, there's the phrase, political life. The parallelism and similarity cannot be coincidental. The policy of a German government, the behavior of the men who speak in its name, cannot be entirely unrelated to the whole body of doctrines and training on which that government rests. Values and principles which seem self-evident to the adult and sufficient reason for him to support national policy must have been inculcated very early in his life. A study of the German family tends to show that this is the case. As in all cultures, indoctrination begins in the child's earliest training. Continuing and dropping down a bit here, he says, we must know these factors before we can answer the next question. Where can we interrupt the circle of German education? At what stage in a young German's life should we intervene in order to exert the greatest influence in changing the course of character formation today? Shall we meet the citizen of tomorrow for the first time when he comes into school or into the kindergarten? Is that too late in his life? Or should we meet his father and mother instead while he is still an infant in arms, or perhaps even before he has been born? At what point can we make the most significant interruption of the psychologically vicious cycle, family, society, society, family? And Vicki, I would say that this is precisely where we're at when we start thinking about parents as teachers and coming in and starting databasing children and parents in the home as we build these databases for the 21st century.
Yep, that's, you hit it just right spot on, and this human resource development system is the implementation of whatever they found out there, and they want to be able to monitor and measure the development of the child. I mean, basically, it's the state taking over the parenting of children to make sure that they absorb the proper values as they define them, which are the green agenda and worker skills.
And it's a changing process, Vicki, you know. And, you know, we're not going to cover all of this information today. We're going to have you back again. And I'm just enjoying this conversation. I hate to interrupt you because you're right on the money. But at the same time, this is not something that's static. This isn't, you know, something that's written out, you know, and so on and so forth, in a piece of paper. What I'm seeing, and one of the problems that I see in education, is that every single year, all across America, we have another group of children graduating out of high school that then go into the four-year schools, and then some of them that can't make it in trade and business go into education. Then they come back as instructors, and every single year the three or four primary textbook manufacturers create another set of books that get out. And so as we go through from K through 12 and through the baccalaureate degrees and the master's degrees and the doctor's degrees, every single year we have the opportunity of starting with these kindergartners or the preschoolers or the early childhood development people or in daycare centers or in private home environments. We have every single year we have the opportunity to begin this new system of indoctrination. And through this gradualism, through this creep, we can start in a process with the kindergartners. Now they have they're dividing the children. You know, there's no longer any interaction between one to K to three and three to six. And now they've got the junior high and the high school, and they're thinking about dividing high schools into two. Part of that, I think, is so that there's no interaction from older children to the younger children, so that the younger children can't say, well, we didn't have that in our textbook. That's not what they told us. This wasn't what, you know, and by getting away from textbooks, going to the computers and the children sitting at the computers, they could almost be changing the curricula real time.
Certainly. Yeah, you know, when I first saw the education software, it was at a PC Expo in New York City, and I saw a software program that IBM had put together to teach poetry. And that software was incredible. It had it had the poem that it was teaching. It had the time in history that it was written. It had information about the author. It had who is that black actor that has the most beautiful voice?
I don't know, Bill Cosby.
No, he's what is his name? He has a beautiful bass voice. Anyway, this guy is the one that read the poem, and it was just beautiful the way that he did it. And when I saw that software package as a teaching tool, I thought, oh man, this is just, it doesn't get any better than this. You know, because when you compare a software tool like that with your average 10th grade teacher trying to teach a poem, you know, what does the poem mean? What do the words mean? You know, all of that stuff. It's just, there's no comparison.
Sure.
I mean, it's the best thing that ever happened to education.
And an excellent way to sell the program is to develop a pilot piece like that. But I'm put on my tinfoil hat now. Get on my conspiracy cap and put on my Jacobin cap. But when you sit down at that level and start developing the software, this interactive learning process where the student, the young person is sitting there in front of a computer, as I say, this can be developed real time as the student is progressing through it, and it can be changing continuously. One of the things that I value most about my library is that these books are originals a lot of times, and they're all very old. It's really easy to see whether or not somebody's come in and scribbled something out or tried to paste a new page into it. You know, the books are old. But that's not the case on the Internet. When we're off into cyberland and off into the digital technologies, you can come in and change sentences and commas and add conjunctions or drop them, change the whole meaning of things just by altering the phraseology, and none would be the wiser, including the instructor in the front of the class. They would have no idea what the student is actually studying there, and when they write their book reports, you know, maybe they'd get a glimmer there, but none else. So
that's right.
I'm really... Go for it.
If you're an evil and wicked person that wants to do mind games on children for experimental purposes, the things that you can do on a computer, and that's where I was going with this, is that, you know, you have the opportunity to do something that is just phenomenal, but there is also the other side of the coin, the dual use. You can use a software program to torment people, to impose subliminal messages on people. I mean, the evil side of this coin, of the good side, it is so beyond anything that most people could ever possibly even think of that it scares me to death, and I changed my opinion on education software, actually.
I can understand why you would. Folks, we'll be right back and pick it up on the other side. Stay there. We'll be right back.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
And we have returned looking at the use of computers and computing systems and computer development, etc., as it is being used and deployed on us and at us to move us into this global governance scheme. Came across an article this morning on Bloomberg in regards to it's basically an inquiry into the fitness of Sotomayor to be part of the Supreme Court in regards to the Philadelphia firefighters and some other firefighting groups around America. But in Philadelphia, I believe, if I've got it right, there's a very high percentage of Negro in the population, and they're concerned that the fire department doesn't reflect that demographic distribution. And largely, they're blaming it on the tests that the firemen need to pass in order to move up, move out or die inside the fire system. And so basically what they're calling for, championing for, is a due pass system. In other words, get rid of these nasty tests, you know. But we've got the MAP test, this SAT test, and the others, which are mandatory and part of the funding requirement, the mandate, on all of the UNESCO public schools in America. They have to give these tests to find out whether or not the children are being effectively propagandized. At what point do they understand? What point have they been intervened with? How well do they understand the agenda? Do they know what global warming is? Are they prepared to deal with the green economy? That sort of stuff, Vicki. So, the use of this computing system inside of the education system, to me, here in Missouri, they have just recently passed legislation. It's called the Open Textbook or something like that, where the parents and anybody that's interested in the community can go and obtain or look at the textbooks that are being used. And I think that's an open admission that the textbooks are really no longer being used. I've been teaching out of a book used all the major colleges, Harvard, Yale, Princeton. It's called World Civilizations by Edward McNall Burns, and this particular one that I have, the 12th edition, was published back in 1960. The first one was in 1940s. But in this particular edition, the student had made circles and stars by the various chapters that they would have to study for the course, and it was just a fraction of the whole book. And so you can imagine you could go ahead and throw all of the textbooks open for public inspection and yet never use them in class and have the children entirely dependent upon the computer.
That's true. And they are doing that. And you can tell, In the scans documentation, one of the things that was produced in the Labor Department is a report called the Learning a Living, I think it's called. And in that report, they talk about the changes that they're making in the education system, where they're no longer teaching facts. They allegedly are teaching children to think instead, and facts really aren't that important.
Yeah, I've heard that argument to the point that I almost want to puke. You know, the well-rounded student can't read time, can't spell his name, but his emotional system is pretty well, you know, in order or something. I don't know. It's unbelievable that we spend so much, a disproportionate amount of our budget on that. But go ahead.
Well, here's a quote from it. It says, the conventions of today's classroom, in parens, it says, teacher omnipotence, student passivity and isolation, rigid disciplinary borders, and abstracted knowledge and facts are replaced with sophisticated and more realistic concepts of instructional learning. It says, the teacher may not know best. Students often learn best in groups, and knowledge should be related to real problems. Well, you know, I'm sorry. I'm 50 years old, and there is no 12-year-old in the world that can solve a problem better than I can. it's nice that they want to teach them to think, but they don't have the experience and the background and whatever. I mean, it's absurd. It's stupid.
It relegates the teacher, in my opinion, to the status of a monitor. And, I've visited the schools. I'm something that is interesting to me because I'm very concerned about what's happening. But what I see so often in certainly the grade schools is that they'll have these feed tubs, these hard rubber feed tubs, and they fill them up with a bunch of stuff. And then they have the desks all in a disarray or pushed to the edges of the rooms, and they pull these tubs out, apparently, depending on what grade the children are, and then the children dip into these tubs and they pull stuff out, and then they sit around on the floor, of all things, and then they do whatever it is that they do for the length of the class, the duration of the class, and then they throw everything back in the tubs and they go to the next room. And every time I've seen in photographs in the newspaper, you've got your DARE cop in there or stuff like that, or they come in with the police dogs and so on and so forth, the children are always seated on the floor. If it's story time, the children are all on the floor and an adult is standing high above them reading. You know, and all of this is, it develops this mindset of mastery of the adult and the obedience that's going on in here. But it's a subliminal, it's a psychological training thing. I'd love to know the ins and outs of how it's actually working. But you can see that for a product, if the intention is to educate, it's failing. If the intention is to turn out schlock, then it's getting, 4 stars.
Yeah. Well, and it is. I mean, you know, when you're looking at the education system, there is so much reading to do. But the deeper you get into it, the more, if you're any kind of decent person at all, you have to look at these people that are involved in the education system, the education industry, and you have to say, where did these people come from? Who are these people that could do these kinds of things to children?
Do they even believe the stuff that they're doing? I mean, do they understand? Again, it goes back to the first analogy that I gave, is every year we graduate out this new group. And so through this process of what you could call an attrition or whatever it is, a step-by-step building process, perhaps these children that have graduated out of high school and gotten a teaching certificate and come back, perhaps they honestly believe they're doing the right thing.
I don't think so, actually. I don't think so.
I hope that's the case.
I have another friend who has done a lot of research on education. And we were talking one day about writing, and I said, I don't dumb down my writing. I don't use small words. If somebody doesn't understand a word in something that I write, they can look it up just like I do. And she said, Well, you know, the problem is that a lot of people don't know how to, people that grew up in the 1970s and whatever, they don't know how to use a dictionary. And if they were taught to read using the whole language methodology, she said they can't use the dictionary. They don't know how to use the dictionary.
Right. How do you look up a word you can't spell?
Exactly. Right. And that never occurred to me before, but for them to do something like that, you've got to be just the most evil kind of bastard, you know, forgive my language, but I just, you know, anybody that would do that kind of thing to children, I think they ought to be taken out and, you know, whatever. Shot.
Disposed of. They're certainly taken out of the educational system. You know,
because they're monsters.
They are monsters. You know, we can champion here, and I've just been blessed by having been associated with the Ozark Property Rights Congress and even our Ron Paul meetup groups to have to come into contact with bright young homeschooled children and actually looking at some of this 12 or 14 years old and be able to carry on an intelligent conversation with them where they're actually firing on all cylinders and they're getting it. Whereas if you're out and I'm trying to communicate to like a salesperson at a Walmart or something like that, you almost need to bring along your sign language or your cards or something, you know, with little symbols and arrows to point, you know, so that they get it. And anyway, so we're wrapping this one up. And, you know, now we're 4 hours into this. We haven't even scratched the surface. I really hope that maybe next week you might be able to come back and join us again, Vicki, and we can keep this going for a while longer. We really need to understand that where we've come so far, folks, is just the bare bones basics. All we're talking about is trying to get out of high school, and we've got a much, much bigger puzzle. In the closing seconds, anything for the audience, Vicki?
Well, I would really like for people to understand this. I can't tell you what kind of a burden it is to have this information about the global systems and how it relates to the changes that are happening in the United States, and to not be able to communicate it to people, because you've got to understand the big picture of the problem in order to solve it at the, you know, at the local level where
okay,
you are.
Okay, great. You're exactly right, folks. That's all for today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Vicki will be back again with us next week, hopefully. And until then, everybody have a great day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.